For those who are able, please stand in honor of God's word. Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have learned him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
As I'm getting ready, I want you to look at the graphic up on the screen. Now, are those mountains hiding stars behind them? At the bottom, mountains at the bottom hiding stars behind them? Or is it a like satellite view of a landmass full of lighted cities and the ocean at the bottom?
I would say the mountains.
Okay. I saw both. I have no idea which is correct.
Okay.
I just thought, I was sitting out there looking and thinking, wonder what that is. Is it mountains or is that the ocean that's blocking the bottom part of the screen? So, such questions plague me daily. Grace to you, shalom from God our Father, from Jesus our Messiah, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the original movie, The Karate Kid or Karate Kid 1, okay? But there's this scene in the movie where Miyagi, who's the teacher of the karate, who's teaching karate to this young teenager, or at least he looks like a teenager, maybe he's older than that really in the movie, but he looks like a teenager and who thinks he knows everything. You ever been around anybody like that? I used to be one of those, and just in case, you weren't ever like that, I'm sure, but I was like that. And so Miyagi, the teacher, makes this deal with Daniel, the student, and he says, now, you need to do everything that I tell you to do without question. If you want to become proficient at karate, you need to do it the way I think you need to do it. And he says, oh, yeah, sure. He's all eager. And so he gives him all of these household chores, sanding the floor, painting the walls, painting the outside of the house, waxing the car. And this is the part that most people remember. I forgot to get my slide clicker up here ready. This is the part that everybody remembers, wax on, a wax off. Wax on, wax off. And that's how he was supposed to do these things, was so that he would learn these karate moves. Wax on, wax off. These are defensive moves. Okay? And after doing all of these household chores, and I wanted to actually show you the YouTube clip of this, but it starts with a whole bunch of foul language. And I thought, well, that's probably not a good idea. Because Daniel is fed up. He's had it. He's worked. He says, I've worked like a slave. And then, you know, Miyagi shows him that these movements to sand the floor, to paint the house, to wax the car, are all to learn karate moves. And he starts attacking Daniel, and Daniel is defending himself with each of these moves, you know, almost because... just because he's done them so much, they come at once. And yeah, instinctive, thank you. Didn't think of the word. This is congregational preaching, okay? And oh, it's fine. I love this. So wax on, wax off. This made me think of the when I was reading the text for this Sunday, in the middle of the text. So I'm going to start in the middle of what Debbie read today, instead of starting at verse 17. So instead of on off, it's off on. I don't know if you caught that as Debbie's reading that. Probably not, because you're just looking at this text. You haven't been spending time with it, searching it, studying it. But this is the order off on that is in the text. So we're going to jump into verse 22. And I've highlighted the words that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So it's put off comes first, okay? Here's a rather graphic illustration. Let's pretend the old man is a dirty diaper, okay? The first thing you're going to do with a dirty diaper is put it off, take it off, clean up the kid, you know? What's your first clue that one of your kids, if they were still in diapers, what's your first clue that they need to be changed? It stinks. It smells. And maybe you've gotten used to it, but one of your neighbors comes over for a cup of coffee and says, something's rotten in the state of Denmark, to quote Hamlet. Something smells fishy here, right? Something isn't good. And so, none of us likes to be around someone or something that stinks, okay? So, it needs to be put off. Now, we can't do this ourselves. That's what the Christian faith is all about. So, we go to Jesus, who cleanses us from some unrighteousness. Is that what the text says? What does it say? All unrighteousness. So, if our stinky, sinful self needs to be cleaned up, needs to be changed, needs to be put off that old man, we go to him who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're physically incapable of doing that ourselves. As I've said before, if we could make ourselves right before God, then Jesus is totally unnecessary. It's on you, brother. It's on you, sister. Aren't you glad it's not on you? Aren't you glad it's not dependent on you to make yourself right before God? Holy smokes, what a nightmare. That was Luther's nightmare before his eyes were open in faith. He thought he had to earn it. And his big question was, have I done enough? And boy, did he try. What did he try? There's a scene in the Luther movie where he's scrubbing the floor, and boy, he is getting every piece of dirt on there so it's going to just glow and shine. So good did he do that job that the other monks hated him because he did it so well. And yet for Luther was, oh, did I miss a speck? Yeah, how do I know when I've done enough? You know the answer. You can't do enough. Never, ever, ever. You can never do enough. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, right? So we come to him who cleanses us from all sin. We come to Jesus and we confess. We confess that we know how our old sinful self has fouled up the air in our relationships with our family, in our relationships with our friends, in our relationships with others, in the congregation, in town, in the city, in the state, in the nation, in the world, kind of depending on your level of how well people know you. Isn't the news filled with people who fouled it up, stunk up the air? Oh, look what he did, look what she did. And it gets broadcast all over. Only Jesus can do this. So we come to him and we confess. We confess, one, that we've tried to hide our sin, or two, we've tried to make our sin look acceptable in the eyes of the world. Oh, it's not so bad. You know, everybody does it. Don't you know that? And we minimize it. We try to hide it. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What's the first thing they did? They hid. They heard God walking in the garden. They hid. And then they hid themselves. They tried to cover their own bodies up because something had changed in how they saw themselves once they ate that and were aware of sin. They also confess, number three, that we've tried to blame others. Not me. I didn't make that smell. That was Billy Bob. Billy Bob, he's the one who stinks, Mom. Or we try to spray the world's air freshener. Maybe they won't know. Maybe they won't realize. Yeah, it's kind of a sweet smell, but it's got kind of a foul kick to it. So we confess that we've tried all these things in order to not actually deal with our sin. And we come to Jesus and say, we've blown it. We have blown it. So we repent. We turn away from our desires. Oh, I don't want to deal with that. You know, when I first came to saving faith, you know, I thought, boy, this is great. I've got it now. I know Jesus. Life is good. And it was. I'm not trying to minimize that. But I thought it was never going to have to repent again. It's a smooth sailing, easy coasting. How long did that last? About a minute. No, maybe two. It didn't last long. We turn away from being self-righteous. You know, the old finger comes out. I heard somebody say to someone who was quick to point things like this, says, be careful, that thing might go off. That finger might go off. And we're pointing at others. What did Jesus say about this? He said, take the log out of your own eye. And then you can see the speck that's in your brother's eye. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. Can you see a plank sticking out of somebody's face like this? Huh? You see that? But what is this guy concerned about? Oh, brother, you got a tiny little speck in your eye. Yeah, you got a tiny little speck in your eye. That's self-righteousness. We think we know better than others. So we repent. We turn away from these things. And third, we turn away from lying, hiding, blaming others, dressing up our sin to match the ways of the world. That's what repentance is. It isn't just, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go on. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the way we live our lives. And remember, we can't change it. We come to him and we say, I can't change. Help me. Help me change what needs to be changed in my life. That's what repentance is. Okay, let's go on to the next verse, 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, be renewed, I've highlighted there up on the screen. In the Greek, this is in the passive voice. That means it's being acted on. You're being renewed. You're not renewing yourself. Again, if we could renew ourselves, don't need Jesus. Okay? So it's God is doing the renewing here. When we confess, when we repent, he frees us. He cleanses us from all sin. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He renews that relationship that we have with him. He's the one that's doing the renewing. I want to read a passage from one of the Old Testament books. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. And in fact, other than Cindy and Marty, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Now,
if you're going to sit there, I'm not doing that.
Fine. You don't have. It's not a law, okay? But I think it might be helpful as you listen to how God can renew the most difficult situation. This is from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he also said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. It's a powerful passage. Did you see it in your mind as I read those words? What if God told you to speak to a bunch of dead bones? Prophesy. Okay, Lord, this seems pretty stupid. Why are you telling me to talk to dead bones? I mean, there's a whole world of lost people out here, and you're telling me to preach to dead bones? And as he prophesied, they came together. And they were just a bunch of dead bodies laying there. There's no breath in them. Do you know in the Hebrew, the word breath can also mean spirit? God's spirit wasn't in them. They were dead. They weren't alive. He said, prophesy to the spirit to come into them. And the spirit came into them, and they stood up a great army. Do you need to be renewed? God can do it. If God can take a valley of dry bones, put flesh on them, put his breath on them, and raise them up into a great army, he can renew you. He can renew me. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Or to mix up the Karate Kid, wax off, wax on. Now, you would never wax off a car and then wax it on. That's stupid. But in God's economy, we put off the dirty diaper. You're not going to put on a dirty diaper and then put off a clean one. That doesn't make any sense. You put off the dirty diaper and you put on a clean one. Reminds me of I'm just going to take a little tangent here. In my second parish, I had a father of four children brag to me. He says, Pastor, I can count on one hand the number of diapers I've changed. I'm a man's man. I said, I feel sorry for you. What? He thought I was going to praise him. What? I said, I only have one daughter, but I'll tell you what, when she was young and I changed her diaper, and she was not feeling good and I made her feel good, and she started cooing and smiling and laughing at me and blowing bubbles. I said, there's nothing like that. Look what you've missed. Oh. He didn't want to believe that. Put off the old. Put on the new. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's God doing the renewal. Jesus offers us his true righteousness. It's clean. It's pure. You know what our righteousness is? That's that stinking dirty diaper. That's our righteousness. And that's the good stuff that we stand up and say, look what I did. Pat ourselves on the back. That's my dirty diaper. Hey, God, that's my dirty diaper. Isn't it great? No, Chris, it stinks. and it stinks bad. Let me get rid of it for you. Oh, thank you, God. You know, there's nothing like being clean. His righteousness, His truth is working in and through us. Okay, now, I jumped into the middle of the text that Debbie read today. Now I'm going to come back to the first part of it, verse 17. Oops. There it is. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. Watch where you walk. Have you ever been preoccupied with something and walked into something? Like, say, a pole? It not only startles you, but it hurts, right? You know, there's a little video I saw one time of a lady. She's texting in a mall, and there's a big fountain and a pool around the fountain, and she's texting like this, and next thing she's flat on her face in the water. And I laughed. And so did you. So, we see signs like this. Don't walk. Now, if you look at one of these crosswalk signs, it doesn't have the words don't walk on there. I added that just in case you didn't know what this symbol meant. Anybody here not know what this symbol means? You know, I think there are some people who live in my neighborhood along Dual Highway that do not know what this means. They're constantly walking against red light, against don't walk. I hope they don't get hurt someday. You know, they do have the right of way. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Well, I got the right of way. I'm a pedestrian. If I get killed, it's on you. You're just as dead. So I want to share something, a little video with you about being aware of your surroundings and where you walk. Now, this is an old Charlie Chaplin movie. It's a silent movie, okay? There is music with it. This actually was at the end of the silent film era. It's from the film Modern Times. And the music that you're going to hear was created to go with the movie. And Chaplin also wrote the music for this. Here's the situation. He's the tramp. That's his, you know, main character that people all know about. And he finally landed a job as a night watchman in a department store. Now, a young, cute gal, young woman, caught his eye. And he says, oh, why don't you come into the department store with me through the night, and so you won't have to sleep on the street. And so the scene here is they're going through the department store, department by department, and now they have found the toy department. And guess what they found in the toy department? Roller skates. Let's watch that video. Okay. Gives you an idea that you need to be aware of where you're walking. Okay? I got twice in the last week, I got an identical handwritten letter inviting me to an online Bible study. I thought, well, somebody took time and effort to do this. I don't know why I got them twice in a row. The envelope had my name on it, Chris Nyman, and my address. But I opened it up, it says, Dear Neighbor. So I don't know why they knew my name on the address, on the envelope, but they didn't know my name on the letter. But still, it was handwritten. And they're inviting me to a Bible study that millions of people around the world are viewing. Oh, I'm interested. You took the time to write this, sent it to me, even though it wasn't quite personalized. It was almost. I mean, you got my name right on the envelope. Didn't say, you know, occupant or resident, whatever. Oh. And millions of people around the world are viewing it, and okay. Now, I have to admit, it was a female, and her handwriting, most ladies have kind of really good penmanship, except for my daughter. My daughter's like me. She didn't pick. Paula has awesome. You know, in this very room, I'm gonna nominate one person who has the best penmanship, Marty Williams. Yep. If you've ever seen Marty's writing, you'll never forget it, and you'll never mistake a letter for another letter. Well, this one wasn't like that. It's kind of messy, and I'm reading, and it was from the JWs. Does that mean anything to you? The Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, as soon as I saw it was from the Jehovah's Witnesses, I said, no, I'm not going to go watch this online thing that millions of people around the world are viewing. Why? It's not that I'm prejudiced against them. It's that I know they don't believe in the Trinity. And as we learned on Trinity Sunday a few weeks back, the Bible clearly teaches in the Trinity, and all Christian denominations believe in the Trinity. The only ones that sound like Christians that aren't are the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Neither of them believe in the Trinity. So I decided that I'm not going to be watching their teaching. I'm not going to be walking in that area. I'm going to watch where I'm walking. Try to apply some of this stuff from Ephesians to my life. And who we are walking with is just as important as where we are walking. So let's go back to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk, how? No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now this implies that there's kind of two groups of Gentiles. There are the believing Gentiles. That's most of us. Can't say 100% sure. I'm never 100% sure of everybody. But that's most of us. We're believing Gentiles. We're not believing Jews. We're believing Gentiles. So we're different than the rest of the Gentiles out there who walk in the futility of their mind. Look how the Holy Spirit, through Paul, describes the futility of their mind. I'm going to read verse 18 and 19, but I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to put up a list that I pulled out of these next two verses up on the screen. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. These are the things that Jesus, these are the areas Jesus doesn't want us to walk in. These are the areas that the Holy Spirit, who renews our mind through the Word and the power of the Spirit, enables us to live the life He's calling us to live. But there's still this strange thing within each one of us that there's a desire for those things. There's a desire to do the wrong things. And lately, I've been watching Leave It to Beaver reruns. Now, you young'uns don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It's a 1950s, maybe early 60s sitcom where this family, And Beaver is the youngest. His real name is Theodore, but everybody calls him Beaver, and that he's the star of the show. And one day they ask the Beave, that's even his more nickname, cut down, the Beave. Beave, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, I want to be a trash collector. His parents are a little bit puzzled by this and say, why would you want to be a trash collector? He says, because you don't have to wash and nobody cares if you stink. It's funny. But isn't that kind of our attitude sometimes? Okay, God, yeah, I know you want to do all this for me. You don't want me to be in all these things. But some days I just don't want to wash and I don't care. Some days we have that attitude. And so we continue daily to need to confess, to repent, to put off the old, to put on the new, to be renewed so that we can love and serve as Jesus did, empowered by him, not in our own strength. Amen. Now may the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.